This is Cans for Orange, and well, unfortunately, with my scope, I don't quite have the oomph. You can see that there is a ring around Saturn, and you can see it fairly clearly, but you can't really differentiate the different rings. I need a much much bigger scope for that. And but on Jupiter, I can magnify that up enough that you can actually see one of the red stripe across the center, which is one of the atmospheric streams that runs around the equator of Jupiter. And you can make out the Galilean moons, the four Galilean moons, which were all out last night, so that's good. So they got a kick out of that, and then I'd swing it up to like Altair or someplace near Altair where it looks like a dead piece of sky, and then they look in the scope and there's all these stars, and then and they got a kick out of that. So we had a good time. And Mark's still looking at acquiring a telescope.
KN4RJN, this is KN4HTP. We're still talking about it. I did subscribe to that telescope magazine that I found in an issue in Barnes & Noble. I think it was called Sky and Telescope. So we'll take a look at that. I really like this section where they tell you all the fun things going on that month. It's like a half a page where it, you know, lists out what day and what you can watch for. So it's very interesting to both of us. We're lamenting that Brown Summit is a whole lot further than Inman from our house, because we loved it when you did all the hard stuff, like find Jupiter and find Saturn and find everything for us to look at. So that was wonderful, and it's really nice to check out the stars and see what's going on up there and learn a little more about it. I noticed in the Science News the other day that the scientists think they found another planet in a different solar system. And, I mean, in a different galaxy, not in the Milky Way. Have you heard that?
This is CAN4RJN. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. They found a what?
Planet orbiting a star in a different galaxy than the Milky Way.
Roger. This is CAN4RJN. Yeah, there are, when they found the first extraterrestrial planet around a star several years back, and they were amazed, and since that time they found, you know, thousands of them. I haven't been keeping up with the news on that, but I know that I believe I heard something that they found one in a different galaxy. But there are, you know, within the Milky Way, they found thousands of planets. Almost every star out there, it seems, has at least one or two planets around it, and some of them have, you know, like our solar system, you know, close to a dozen or whatever. They found a few that are, you know, actually, you know, rocky planets, and one or two that appear to have maybe an atmosphere and is sitting in the Goldilocks zone where it might actually have liquid water. So, you know, there's a number of them out there that have the potential to be habitable, but we have to get a whole lot closer to it before we can figure that out. And it's a long, long ways away. So, but just an interesting side note, somebody was asking me the other day about the stars in Orion's belt and how far away they are. And the one in the middle, which is Al-Nilam, I think is what it is 2,000 light years away. So you're seeing that as it appeared when, you know, Jesus was still walking on the earth. And the other two are like 1,200 and 1,260 on either side. Al-Nataka, and Mintaka is the one on the far right. And they're like 1,200 or so light years away. So you're seeing those as, you know, shortly after the Roman Empire fell. But But yeah, just understanding the distances and the time involved in getting to a particular place. You know, if you send a radio signal to Jupiter, it'll take 40 minutes for it to get there. Send one to Saturn and it'll take over an hour. Send one to Neptune and it'll take, you know, over 4 hours. You know, things are just really, really far away and it's really hard to get to them. So the only reason E.T. hasn't visited here yet is because, well, it's a long trip. What can I say? But anyway, I'll say 73s to you and say hello to Mark for us, and I'll back on out of here. This is KN4RJN, and I am clear.
KN4HTP, net control with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Thanks, Mr. John. I always enjoy talking about the stars with you. I took a class in college in astronomy, but I didn't retain much of it. But it's pretty, I just love it. So thanks for sharing your hobby and knowledge with me on that. Well, with all of us, really. So hope you have a good evening out your direction. All right, at this time, I'd like to check and see if anyone else is listening in that hasn't checked in yet. We're checking in all the way through the alphabet, Alpha through Zulu. If there's anyone listening in that hasn't checked in, please call KN4HTP or Net Control. This is KN4HTP, Net Control with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Looks like our friend Walt will be calling the net tomorrow night. K4OIM. So usually his call sign comes right to mind. K4OIM, Mr. Walt, will call the net tomorrow at 9, and hope you will check in with him. And let's see, my net report tonight will be submitted electronically. Just for your information, I had 46 check-ins tonight and some great rag chew, so I appreciate that. If you'll hold on, I'll break for a minute and for the automatic net report to transmit. KN4HTP, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for checking in. We will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s, and good night, everybody.
Hey, Wendy, would you like one more to add to your list? W2T.
KN4HTP, sure, I'd like to add another to my list.
Well, please do. I just got out of a meeting and happened to catch you here. So add Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango, Mobile and Duncan to your list tonight.
Great. Thank you very much. You have a good evening. This is KN4HTP, clear.
KK4JBQ, KO4NUE. KK4JBQ. KO4NUE.
NUE, KK4JBQ.
Hey, Mr. Larry, how are you doing?
Well, but I've had regular sleep. It must be 3 a.m. there.
It is. It is. I'm tired. I haven't been sleeping well. I had some pretty bad heartburn since I've been here, and it's keeping me awake at night, so I'm kind of having to be a little bit selective about what kind of foods I eat. But I'm just going to let you know that I went to the beaches the other day, and I just, I don't have any words. No words to describe any of that.
Your email, that was much the same as what you just said. Did you get my reply?
I haven't looked, Larry, but I will. I will look. we've taken some pretty good video of the place and the whole trip, actually. And thinking about, you know, stitching it all together and putting it up on YouTube. So if anybody's interested in seeing, they can. I mean, I got to put it up there for my family. So me and Anna can share with them. But I just, like I said, I've never seen anything like that. And mercy, my goodness. I don't know what to say. And normally, when I run across something like that, if I can get a good night's rest or something, usually the next day, I'll be able to, you know, put it into words, but it's been 4 or 5 days now, and I still don't know how to describe things at all.
All I have to say to that is don't feel alone in an inadequacy to express what sights like that must stir up in you. It's sometimes there are no words, or they're inadequate, and you don't want to speak them. And maybe this just has to dwell inside you for a while. And some people who are good at writing, not so great at just blurting it out, but they're to carefully construct a writing, they'll get closer to how a thing like that, an experience like that, makes them feel. It's just a suggestion. I don't know if it'll work, but some people can write a lot better than they speak. The words don't, you know, coming out of your mouth, some words will not sound right. But when you write them down, they do sound right. They're just what you wanted to say. But you must say it in words, if you know what I mean. Well, your trip has caused a lot of stir here. A lot of, just in the household, both Donna and I have taken trips on Google, you might say, to take a look at Normandy and in Omaha beaches and the monuments that are there, but the cemeteries and the structures that are around them, it's very moving to actually witness that and to realize how many thousands passed away suddenly on one day. For freedom and liberty. I was curious, you said earlier when talking to Wendy that you had overheard what the French think of the Normandy memorials. Could you repeat some of that?
So basically, the French people, they put these memorials up alongside of the road or into town, and they pay for them out of their own pocket. And give the land for the monument to sit on. The interesting thing for me about all of this is, and I didn't realize that this is what was happening until we went to the cemetery. Now, I've got some really good video of the cemetery I want to share with you. But a very, very respectful, very quiet, and most of the visitors there that were visiting were French people, and they had their children with them. Basically, teaching their children about this graveyard, this cemetery, why it's here. And one couple had three children, and the oldest child was, I don't know, 9 or 10, and he was whiny and being bratty, didn't want to be there. And the dad immediately, and I mean immediately, sat him down and said, look, you know, I mean, I couldn't understand what the guy was saying, but he got that under control real quick. And all of the grass and all of the trees there are American species. There's no French plants on the cemetery. Even the grass is an American species. Very well maintained. The crosses are just perfect. And the memorial there in sepulcher is just absolutely amazing. And it's right, the cemetery sits right over Omaha Beach. It looks right over the beach. And you can see the roadbed that was cut in that they used to move the bodies up the beach for burial. But just, you know, an amazing experience just to be able to see that and be a part of it, you know, and to see how the French people react to it. And they are just very respectful, and that's nice to see.
I agree. Anytime you can witness respect and the attempt to honor the sacrifice made by people from another country. And I'm thinking all of Western Europe shared in that. You know, when we liberated France, we also liberated Poland and Czechoslovakia and many others. The French know how to do things like that. So, but I recall in my search that there were other memorials and memorial cemeteries around Western Europe. But I spent hours looking at those crosses and imagined what it would be like to stand where you stood and take it in. A photograph won't do it. A big photograph, the size of your living room wall, that wouldn't do it. It's the air, it's the sounds, it's all the effort you made to get there. You know, that all goes in and mixes up and becomes an experience. So I know that we'll have a lot of time to reflect on this when you get back. and I look forward to that. KK4JBQ.
Well, I was able to get some rubbings. I got 8 or 10 of them. We tried twice to get rubbings off of the beaches, right at the memorial where, you know, most of the bodies were stacked and getting ready to, you know, move out to be buried. There's a monument there on both beaches. But the wind was so bad. I mean, it was 50, 60 mile an hour gusts at times. And it was almost like, and we went back 2 days later to try again. And no luck. I mean, it's almost like, you know, you can't have it. You know, what happened here is going to stay here. And, I mean, it just tore our paper to shreds. We would get ready to start with the charcoal when we could get it to lay down flat. And then it would just instantly start to pour rain. And we did this twice. Each time was just, you know. So, it, like I said, it was just almost like, you know, these memorials are going to stay here, right here. They're not going anywhere else. Which, I know that sounds kind of freaky, but I just, you know, decided, hey, that's probably the best thing to do. So we went up to the cemetery the next day, and I got all of my rubbings from up there, and was pleased to, you know, have success up there. But the beaches, they're just, you know, just not going to let you do it. But kind of interesting, I guess.
That's an interesting interpretation of the difficulties you encountered, and I think a reasonable one. Yeah, well, you'll be heading back sometime this week, I suppose. And you'll carry the impressions and, you know, the fact that you were standing there, and remember it the rest of your life. I've been to some places that are natural wonders. Something that you can't take away with you except what you have inside, your remembrances, that kind of thing. It makes me think that my dad never traveled. He never got out of Southwest Virginia, Northeast Tennessee. He grew up in Southwest Virginia and settled in East Tennessee. And whenever we go anywhere, he didn't realize why. When I left home, I left the state. I went to Florida first, and then across to New Orleans, and then up to Virginia, around Richmond, and then Michigan, and then spent a little time in Phoenix, Arizona. And he never understood why I would want to travel, why I'd want to see things. Well, because he couldn't bring it home. That's the part that reminds me what you say is true, but my dad didn't understand that you do bring something back. The fact that you were there, that you stood there, you breathed that air, and much more, you know. My dad could never understand that. But someone who doesn't care to travel has no reason to. I don't know how much traveling you did before you entered military service. That puts wings on your feet right there, I'm sure. But you will always have memories of having been there, is what I'm trying to say. Nothing can take that away. KK4JBQ.
Yeah, so we were able to go to Omaha Beach. Most of the scenes that you see that are available of actual scenes of the invasion came from Omaha Beach. Omaha was the bloodiest of all the beaches because of the geological features there under the water at Omaha that caused a tremendous amount of casualties, 2 or 3 times higher than the other beaches. And it was just like a whole bunch of things came together that caused all of that carnage. And under the water at Omaha, the geography is a little different than the other beaches in that it has the land rises and falls in waves under the beach. And at high tide, that caused the landing craft to get stuck and could not move forward. So the men had to bail out of the landing carriers. 800 to 900 yards from the actual beach. Then had another 400 yards to get to cover. And when you hear the French side of it, you know, actually what happened was it was about 9 hours long. When you see the movie, it's, you know, it's over in minutes. But the actual, you know, Omaha Beach took 9 hours. And they would only send 4 groups of crafts every 30 minutes apart. And they would get stuck and then jump out in cold water over their heads. And the Germans just basically just, you know, they had time at leisure to pretty much do what they wanted. Because it'd just be 30 minutes before another wave came in. And, man, I don't know. It's hard to wrap your hands around all that. But, Larry, there is still gobs and gobs of equipment here that have just been shot up, blown up. I mean, my goodness, I just, you know. But let me let this thing recycle, and I'll be right back. So I think the most important thing for me was a small church in St. Mary Glees, a small chapel, and I mean small. When one of the parachute companies landed, they were over their drop zone and landed directly into German territory. And, which is never good. Well, one of the groups was landed, right outside of the town of St. Mary-Galeuf. And they landed at night, and a couple of them had some, you know, broken bones from hitting the ground. So there were two medics that were 18 and 19 years old. They took over the church and town and hung a Red Cross flag on it and brought their wounded in there to treat them. Well, as the battle raged, more and more casualties started showing up at the church. And two of the casualties were German soldiers. The young medics were going out into town and would find wounded soldiers, German or American, and bring them back to the church. So there was a time when the Germans would come in one door and drop off patients, and then the Americans would come in the other door and drop off patients. And these two guys took care of 81 people in the next 3 days inside that church. 10 of them died, but the church is just full of blood stains. I mean, the floor, the benches, the altar, everything. And it's just, you know, amazing to me how, I don't know, I don't even know what to say about that, really. Just the whole thing. I don't know what to think about it.
Sir, I got a sense of what you're saying when I saw some crosses at the cemetery that were on the boundary, on the edge, not in the open, and they were all black, six or seven of them. And so I read a little more about that, and it was bodies buried there on the outskirts of the cemetery that were identified as German soldiers. They were black. I don't know if you saw those, but that says a great deal also. It was horrible. As you well know, war is, we do find resolution in war, but there is no joy. KK4JBQ.
Yeah, so on a lighter note, the building we're staying in is not as, I think we have gotten the language incorrect. It's not a watchmaker's house. It is a watch lock master. So basically what he did was, the river runs through the town of Bayo, and they have some water wheels on the buildings that, you know, grind the grain and, or, you know, power whatever. And in order to make sure the city's safe, and the wagon, the power wheels, powered by water, can do what they need to do. You know, that river needs to be governed. So that was his job, was to make sure that there was enough water to keep the wheels moving. And if the water level got too high, it would send off bells inside his cabin, and then he would go ring the city bells to alert everyone that, you know, the water level was too high. And but I've got some video of that I would like to send you. But very beautiful city. People are very nice, very respectful. Our car quit the other day with a bad battery, and I was able to call Roland. Roland, K1CJW, speaks fluent French, so we had him record a message so that I could talk with someone about, in French, what was going on with the car. And he was able to actually help, you know, so it worked. So that was kind of neat. I used EchoLink for that. But so far, we're doing pretty good. We're tired. I'm ready to come home and get some rest. KO4NUE.
How about that? Well, lodging within a watchmaker's house would have been another thing, very different. But what you're talking about is just as interesting, just as, and maybe historically speaking, more important. And we'll talk further about that. Thank you for taking the time, and I hope you're starting to feel a little dozy, a little like you can rest. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me. I hope other people were leaving their radios on. I did, in hopes that perhaps we'd have a conversation like this. So I'm very pleased. And I've been real thankful. Roland would communicate conversations that he had with you and check you in while you've been gone. I'd really like to meet that gentleman. Maybe we can arrange that. Well, Chad, you and Anna get some good rest tonight. I hope your indigestion calms down. I know you're doing all the remedy things that anyone would do, and acids, and drinking plenty of water to dilute the acid in your stomach. Don't know if this is something that's a recurring problem. We can talk about that another time, but just wish you a good night's rest. KK4JBQ.
Okay, Larry. I appreciate you staying up with me for a little bit. But I'm going to attempt to send you some videos. I'm not sure you're going to get them, but I will try. I'm going to send them to your email account, and just so you can kind of take a look at some of them. But I will try, and I'll talk with you later about whether you got them or not, or you just shoot me a text or something. But I will send them before I go to bed, in hopes they can get to you during the night. But appreciate you talking with me. And you're right, I'm gonna send these out, and then I'm gonna go bed down for a little bit. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ. I'm clear, Larry.
NUE, KK4JBQ. Good night. 7-3.